You're listening to Your World Today on Radio Islam International, bringing us on to 31 minutes past 6 Central African Time. Now, USA to transfer 15 Guantanamo prisoners to the UAE. Joining us on the line is Advocate Firoz Boda. Firoz, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakumullah khair for joining us. What is the latest with regards to the Guantanamo prisoners? We see 15 move to the United Arab Emirates now. Is this good news?
Alhamdulillah, after 14 years that these men, there were 12 of them from Yemen and 3 of them from Afghanistan. After 14 years of being kept in Guantanamo Bay with no charges, no trial, they were branded by the George Bush administration as being the worst among the worst. And here we, 14 years later, they released without any trial whatsoever to the UAE. That from the original population at Guantanamo Bay, which was about 668, there is now currently 61 people left. And out of that 61, 17 are called forever prisoners. So the U.S. administration believes that these people are too dangerous to release for one reason or the other. There is news that more will be released in the coming weeks. What we know is that currently it's costing the administration $445 million per annum to run this prison. So that's per prisoner now, per capita, it's $7.29 million to run this illegal black site. It's a concentration camp called Guantanamo Bay. So, alhamdulillah, there are 61 left from there. There is more developments. There's two other developments. I don't know if I can talk about this as well.
Yes.
So the one relates to Abu Zubaydah. Now, Abu Zubaydah was one of the first persons was captured by the Bush administration, and he was used as a guinea pig for the development of what is the U.S. colloquially calls enhanced interrogation techniques. It's really torture techniques. So he was one of the first person captured by the U.S. administration, and he's in Guantanamo Bay for 14 years. He was taken to Thailand. He was the first brother to be tortured. Now, the idea with Abu Zubaydah after they tortured him was to keep him incommunicado for the rest of his life. But alhamdulillah, he's now appointed lawyers in Guantanamo to bring an application for him to obtain parole. Because after 14 years, they never charge him with anything. Now, Abu Zubaydah was waterboarded 83 times. He was put in a wooden box the size of a coffin for 11 days. He was put in a smaller type of box for 29 hours. His body was concocted. He was subjected to sleep deprivation. He was placed naked. Diapers were put on him. He was subject to torture 24 hours a day while he was in the Thailand prison. He lost an eye. He was subjected to rectal abuse. And all of this on the basis of what the Bush administration and its psychologists believed to be enhanced interrogation tactics. Now, these psychologists who developed these techniques used this brother as a guinea pig, and then they lied to the rest of the administration by saying that by using these techniques, they got valuable information from Abu Zubaydah. But the fact is the U.S. torture report shows, the Senate report shows that Abu Zubaydah gave them no valuable information whatsoever from the torture. And in fact, at the time when they treated him originally, or when he was captured decently, he gave them more information which they considered valuable than information that they obtained under torture. So Abu Zubaydah is now, when it was the U.S. administration's intention to keep him incommunicado for the rest of his life, alhamdulillah, we are now hearing from him, and he's brought an application to the parole board for being released. I don't think they're going to release him, because he knows too much. And he can really jeopardize and tarnish the reputation of the Bush administration, and it can cause lots of problems. But inshallah, we make dua for this brother that he will be released. All the other prisoners, by the way, were subjected to the same type of torture, and they were taken, and all of them, out of all the 670 prisoners, only 7 are facing trial. So from being the worst of the worst to being all of them detained on the basis that they had something to do with September 11, only 7 are facing trial. Now, 4 of the 7 who are facing trial for the September 11th attacks. And the main accused there is Khalid Rashid, and he has three conspirators who are alleged to have either funded or supported or planned the 9/11 attacks. Now, this trial hasn't even started, and it's bedeviled by various controversies. These people, if they were to be tried in a normal court, will walk free because of the torture they all sustained. I can give you three recent events on the 9/11 trials that's been happening in Guantanamo. The first thing is there's an application by the Khalid Rashid's lawyer to, by the lawyers of the accused, for the judge to recuse himself. Now, what has happened is, it appears, and the judge has confirmed this, that the judge issued a secret order on application from the prosecution to destroy evidence of the secret black sites where these brothers were tortured. And that evidence would have given them a defense to say that all the confessions which they are alleged to have given to the administration came under torture. Now, this judge is allowed to do that because the military manuals allow the prosecution to have secret meetings with the judge and not tell the defense about it. But this judge has compromised himself by giving an order which is of such importance to the defense of the accused that there is clearly, on any objective basis, a perception that the judge is biased and these people can never have a fair trial. And if the man had any integrity, he would recuse himself. But he's not yet recused himself. There's an application for him to recuse himself. Then the second thing that's happening with the 9/11 accused is there's a gag order against their lawyers from releasing any letters that they write. So Khalid Sheikh Mohammed has written a letter to the Obama administration, and the lawyers want to release that letter. And the prosecution has now applied for a judge to prevent the lawyers from releasing the letter on the grounds that it contains what they label propaganda. Now, I mean, I thought it was, you know, to publish a letter to the public for them to be able to understand your version would be in the interest of everybody, given that these people are accused of what the U.S. deems as the greatest crime committed against humanity. But these people can't even write letters, and the letters can't even reach the President of the United States. And then there's a third thing that's been happening there. There was last year an order from the judge to prevent female guards from searching the prisoners to take them to court. And now what happened, the prosecution asked the judge to reverse that order on the basis that it discriminates against the female guards. And the judge has now reversed his earlier order and said it's going to take effect. The female guards can start escorting them and searching these prisoners. It's against Islam. They know it's against Islam for a non-mahram to touch a mahram. They know it's against common decency. But everything that Guantanamo Bay is about is planned in such a way so as to undermine one or other facet of Islam. You know, it started with the desecration of the Quran, with brothers being left naked in presence of others, with brothers having to have, do their ablution in front of others. It's just, if one looks at the horror stories coming out of that place from this so-called democracy that believes in human rights, one just looks at the hypocrisy. I mean, these people are just liars, and they must be exposed and brought to justice, inshallah. So that's really the status of what's happening in Guantanamo Bay currently.
Yes, now, you know, coming back to the story of the 15 that have moved to the United Arab Emirates now, what sort of a chance will they be given to start a new life? Can their families relocate and live with them there?
Usually what happens is the negotiations take place between the government and the conditions for the release are all kept secret. So they don't allow their families to relocate immediately. And they keep them in a place and they keep them under watch. And they don't want to send them home despite the fact that they're innocent. And the reason they don't want to send them home is because they can't monitor them. So they basically are released, but not to the places they want to go. So it's a form of, a house arrest where maybe they can move around a little, but they're under constant surveillance. The UAE government will obviously give them homes and try to resettle them to the best of their ability. But it's not what these people want. I mean, by right, they are entitled, because they are innocent, to go home. And, they're not allowed to go home. For Cage Africa, we've petitioned last year the South African government to accept some of the cleared detainees here in South Africa. You know, and unfortunately, we're just not hearing any response from the government. But I'm hoping that that's a sign that there's behind-the-scenes negotiations that we can at least play our role and look after one or two of these brothers who can't go home, but they are innocent. They've done nothing wrong. The Americans have had them from 2001 and couldn't prove a thing. You know, and these people have been subjected to torture, and some of them had parents die while they were there, spouses die, children die. Some of them had children born while they were there who haven't seen. So we're trying to play our role to say, well, as South Africans, we can at least look after two or three brothers and relocate them here. But unfortunately, we haven't had any positive
yes.
response from our government yet.
Now, coming back home, in terms of Cage Africa's activities here home, the Tulsi twins, the Patel siblings, is there any developments on that front? Can you give us some news, info on the terrorism in South Africa claims?
Yeah, well, look, I can't talk about the actual Tulsi case because I'm one of the advocates who is on the matter. So in terms of my professional rules, I can't give you details of the case. But what I can say from Cage Africa's side is that Cage Africa is the spokesperson for the family of the twins. And if you follow the Cage Africa website, it's cage.org, you'll see statements being released almost on a weekly basis to give people progress reports of what's happening on the trial, what impact it's having on the family, and things like this. So I really can't talk about the merits of the matter, because my bar rules don't permit me to deal with it. But you can follow the Cage Africa website, and it will give you regular updates. You can also follow Cage Africa on Twitter, and you'll get regular updates of what's happening in the case. So we know publicly that the magistrate has ruled that the Tulsi twins' arrest was lawful, and we also know that there is currently an application being drafted to the High Court on an urgent basis for the High Court to reconsider whether this arrest was lawful or not, and that's going to be, I anticipate that would be in court in this week, probably by Thursday.
What about the Patel siblings?
From the public information, we know they have been released on bail, 5,000 in bail, and there's nothing further that's happened. They are out on bail. And there's no terrorism charges against them.
Another issue that Radio Islam had broken recently is the beard saga, which led to halal questions being asked of Tsoho's son. What can you expect from Muslim lawyers on this issue? Is it being taken up?
Well, I know the MLA, Muslim Lawyers Association, has reached out to the people involved. I don't know whether they've actually made contact and what the progress of the matter is. You know, as far as the merits of it is concerned, I mean, obviously one will have to get down to the facts and hear both sides of the story. You know, but it appears on the face of what I've heard, the complaint is that there's some sort of a policy which they have not to allow people with beards in their kitchens, at least in their non-halal kitchens, but it's okay for them to be in their halal kitchens, which really doesn't make sense to anybody. But on the face of it, there appears to be some form of discrimination on the grounds of religion. But one would have to investigate whether that can be sustained in a court or not, you know, after looking at both sides of the story. That's all I can say. But I can say the MLA has reached out to the people and to try and assist, give them whatever assistance they want.
Okay, Feroz, jazakumullah khair for your time on Radio Islam.
Jazakumullah khair.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was Advocate Feroz Boda speaking to us, and really the details that he shared with us about Abu Zubaydah, that was really chilling. Unbelievable that human beings can carry out such horrendous acts against fellow human beings, and they totally get away with it. The Hague is only for African leaders and for those from east of Europe. For the Americans, for those on the western part of Europe, no, that is not for them. They get away scot-free. There's no accountability, but there will be accountability in the court of Allah.